This morning, the title of my lesson is The Greatest Calling in the World. You know, all of us in here, we have a name that was given to us by our parents. And you grew up, and whether you like it or not, you were stuck with the name. Everybody has a name. Why? Because I want to be able to say, Bill Francis. And Bill knows I'm talking about him. I want to be able to say, John Becker. And he knows I'm talking to him. We give our kids names. Why? So that when we call them, they can answer. And sometimes, you know, we call them and they don't answer. And I'm willing to bet every parent in here, at some point in their lives, they have looked at one of their kids and said, didn't you hear me calling you? I did that when I was young. You know, you pretend as if you didn't hear. I remember one time, I was downstairs playing with my friends, and my mother was upstairs, and she called out for me. And I came up, and I came into the bedroom, and she goes, could you get me that stuff right there on the dresser? And I got it, and I gave it to her, and I had the audacity. So I said, Ma, the stuff is right here. You're right here. You called me all the way from downstairs. That's all I remember. Man, she got up and came after me. I still remember it to this day. But you see, we give names to our kids. We all have names so that when we call them, they can hear us. You see, this morning I want to talk about God calling us. Because we all have a name. The first call we see in the Bible is in Genesis 3. You don't have to turn there. When God had told Adam and Eve not to eat from the forbidden tree. And it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord and as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the call of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In Exodus chapter 3, we read about the calling of Moses. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God has always been in the business of calling his children since the beginning of time. And God calls us too. Also, in 2011, God has been calling on and has been working on us as we grew up and as we're growing in this life. You see, when I was growing up at some point, I thought my name was Jesus Christ. Because everything I did, my dad would go, Jesus Christ, would you sit down? Jesus Christ, would you come over here? My younger brother's name was Goodness Gracious. Everything he did was, Goodness Gracious, would you be quiet? Goodness Gracious, get me that. So one day I'm out playing in the rain, and my father looks out the window and goes, Goodness gracious, what are you doing? I said, no, Dad, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm just kidding. Well, you see, God calls us by name God knows your name. God knows my name. And like these guys that I just read about, you're going about your own business, minding your own business, and all of a sudden God shows up and says, you know what? I need to talk to you. We need to have a discussion. It's always happened, and it will continue to happen. This morning, again, we're talking about the greatest calling in the world. In Luke 19:10, you can write this chapter verse down. You should know it already. It simply says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We just participated in the Lord's Supper. We took the communion. Jesus came into this world. Jesus came to die for us. Steve referred to the messianic psalm in Psalm 22, where he was on the cross, and he says, you know what? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus came into this world, came down from heaven. He was with God in the beginning. He helped create the world. They did it together. And at the appointed time, he came into this world. He grew up, yet without sin. And then after he was baptized in the Jordan, he began his ministry. And he went about preaching and teaching and healing people. And he was telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. Jesus didn't come into this world just to take care of sick people. He didn't just come into this world to help the poor. And don't get me wrong, we all need to be doing all those things. But Jesus' primary reason for coming to this earth was to seek and to save the lost. That's us. Because we're all sinners. We've all messed up in one fashion or the other. And Jesus came into this world to die for us. And that's what it's all about. Now let's look at the calling of some of the early disciples in Matthew chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 18, a passage we're very familiar with, but I want us to read again. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, he said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, the Bible says, they left their nets and followed him. Going a little farther, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I mean, think about this. These guys were fishermen by trade. That's how they made their living. And Jesus says, you know what? Come follow me, and I will make you. You will become fishers of men. And he gave them a new job description, so to speak. And it's amazing. The Bible says, you know what? They left everything. At once. Not a week later. Not 2 weeks later. Not a month later. Not a year later. At once. They left everything and they followed him. You know what? That's what you do when God comes calling. You know, we all have, those of us that are older and our parents, we have jobs. And chances are you have a supervisor, you have a boss. When that boss calls you into their office, you better answer. If you don't answer, you better have a very, very, very good reason for not answering. Why? Because they have authority over you. And they want to be able to say, you know what? Hey, Bill, I need to see you in my office. You can't stand there and say, what for? If you try that stunt, chances are he's going to your boss will pull a Donald Trump on you and say, you're fired. Because, you know, That boss, and if you're a boss, you feel the same way. You're not going to take such insolence from a subordinate. You see, when God calls, we need to answer. It's very arrogant. It's very rude. When the creator of the universe calls you and you're dilly-dallying. If your senator called you up or the president, you would answer. Even if you are not a Democrat, you will still answer. Why? Because you respect the office of the presidency. You understand what I'm saying? Let alone when the king of the universe says, you know what? Come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. That's our mission. That was their mission. Peter and Andrew responded immediately. James and John responded immediately. These guys could have made excuses. I'm busy. Hey, can't you see we're fishing? Jesus knew that. Notice, they didn't ask him, hey, how are we going to feed ourselves? How are we going to take care of our families? You see, when God says, come, you just need to come. Let me tell you something. He's got all that stuff figured out for you. Amen. They understood that. Now, this is the Messiah calling. Are you with me? You know the story. At one point, this guy comes over here. Lord, I'll follow you wherever it is you go. And what did Jesus say to him? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You never know where you're going to end up. Are you with me? The Bible says in John 3, the Spirit blows wherever it pleases. So it is with those that are born of the kingdom. You never know where God is going to lead you. But you got to be willing to go. Are you with me? I have no idea where you are going to be 10 years from now. But God does. And all we need to do every time is to answer the call. Look in Matthew chapter 9. We read about the calling of Levi or Matthew. Matthew chapter 9 in verse 9. It says, as Jesus went up from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Mr. IRS. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. This guy wasn't liked by a lot of people, just like a lot of us don't like the IRS. As a matter of fact, we need to start filing for our tax returns. I'm doing mine next week. I do it very early. I'm not going to keep loaning money to Uncle Sam at no interest. I want my money back. That's why I do it very quickly. I don't wait till April 15th. Forget that. I'm doing it right now. That's just the way I do my stuff. But, you know, this guy was a tax collector. He was working for the IRS back then. And Jesus called him. Matthew, follow me. And the Bible says he got up. He left his vocation. He left his livelihood and he followed him. As a matter of fact, a lot of people were not very happy when he called this guy. Because remember, this is the guy collecting taxes. And a lot of them were very corrupt. In other words, they would collect more money than it was due to the Roman government. That's how they got rich. But it's amazing, later on in the story, you can read it, the man repented. He invited all his fellow sinners and fellow tax collectors. Say, oh, you got to meet this guy. And they came. Such that the Pharisees were snickering, going, he's gone to the house of sinners. But you see, the question is, would you have stopped and called somebody like this? Either because you thought he's too sinful, or wow, because of his position, I'm intimidated. Jesus called him. Because when it's all said and done, he's just another sinner. Are you with me? You see, I wanted us to read this also because I think sometimes people like this intimidate us. First of all, brothers and sisters, anybody can change. God can change anyone. It doesn't matter to me what they have done. You know, every once in a while, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to a guy about God and about Jesus and about the Bible, and I'm trying to convert him. And every once in a while, the guy would go, you know, somebody would say, you know what? Oh, Richard, you just don't know all the stuff that I've done. I don't think God can ever forgive me. And I look at him and say, first of all, I've been doing this stuff for a very long time. Believe me, there is nothing you've done that I have not heard or seen. And there isn't. Name it. I've seen it. And chances are I did it myself. So God can't save anybody. And I think it's not fair of us when we look at people and we go, man, that guy is such a sinner. He could never change. Oh, you of little faith. And that could be the most open guy you're going to run into that day. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why you can't look at people's lives and just say, you know what? Oh, this one could never change. I have seen marriages turned around. And I forget, my wife and I are studying with a couple, not in here, so don't get nervous. And she had to go confess that she had been adulterous to the husband. And so, obviously, Sarah told me about it, that, you know, she's going to be talking to him. And so I tried to prepare him. And yes, she went home, confessed it. And I got a phone call, said, I need to come see you. I knew what he was going to come and talk about. And he walked in and he was just weeping. He was just crying. He was devastated. But she repented. He repented. He forgave her. They're doing awesome as Christians. They've been Christians for almost 20 years. There is nothing God cannot change. There isn't. But you see, again, we shouldn't allow the status of people to intimidate us. Okay? You know me. I'm going to say it. I think some of us in here were intimidated by white people. Quite frankly, I don't understand why. They got skin just like you and me. The only difference is I got a little bit more pigmentation. That's why mine is darker. Okay? I love Steve Garbrandt. He's one of our bishops. Could you go ahead and stand up? Brother, sister, Steve is white. Just in case you didn't know. It's ebony and ivory right here. It's vanilla, it's chocolate. We're different. His background is different from mine. Mine is different from his. I talk differently than he does. He's a bulldog, and I'm a gator. But guess what? Both of us were created in God's image. And that's all you need to see. That's all you need to see. Okay? This is Antonio. Antonio is not black. Antonio is not white. Antonio happens to be from the Philippines. I've actually been there. Beautiful country. He's from the Philippines. He's a Filipino. He looks different from me. He talks different from me. He's from the other side of the world. He's so far, you know, when you're going there, you better prepare. It takes a whole day to get there. But you see, you can't allow his appearance or his ethnicity to intimidate you. You see, what you see in this church is not happening all over Atlanta every Sunday morning. This is not the norm. You got black folks going to black churches. You got white folks going to white churches. You got Asians going to Asian churches. You got Africans going to African churches.
We need to build this church so that people will see it and give glory to God. That's what we're talking about. That's what I came to do here. And I'm not even an American. We need to stop looking at the outward appearance and see the hurt that people are feeling and open your mouth. You never know where it's going to lead.
There was a guy in my house yesterday. You know, we had problems with our DirecTV, so they gave us an appointment. The guy showed up and, he's trying to get the stuff working. White guy, young. I say, hey, what do you do on Sunday mornings? You know me, I'm going there very quickly. I said, what do you do on Sunday morning? He goes, I work. I said, that's a bummer. Yeah, I said, every Sunday I'm working. He says he has only Monday and Tuesdays off. So we start talking, tell him I'm a minister and everything. His wife just lost miscarried this week. 3 months pregnant. And I said, man, I'm so sorry. My heart goes out to you. And I started sharing about my own life. Because my wife and I went through something very similar. And, you know, he's walking, and we're talking, stepping outside, making sure everything's... I mean, we had a great conversation. And at the end, obviously, I give him my card. I said, listen, I want you to call me up when they change your schedule. And he smiled. I said, that's never going to happen. I said, you watch. I said, here, call me up. I'd love to meet your wife. Let's talk. I wasn't intimidated by the fact that he's white. Open your mouth. Amen. You'll be surprised. Black people are nice. White people are nice. Those from Asian origin, they're very nice people. Everybody's nice. Just open your mouth. Amen? I said this before, but I want to say it again. I want to encourage you to reach out to people that are not like you. That don't look like you. That don't talk like you. He said, oh, man, Richard, that's going to take a long time. No. You've been listening to the devil again. Just open your mouth. You never know. A few days ago, again, I was at home studying, and I decided to go get the mail. And I walk out, and I'm walking towards my mailbox, and my neighbor, new guys, they just moved into the neighborhood. Not directly opposite me, about 2 houses away. He was coming out, also checking his mailbox. I said, hey, I'm your neighbor. Welcome to the neighborhood. You know, he was with his little son. He says his name is Johnny. And he had a Hokies cap. I said, are you a Hokie? He says, no, my wife went to Virginia Tech. I went to Arkansas. I said, well, I went to Florida. I said, you can see my sign right there. And we start talking. He says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. He says, what church? And I told him. I said, I'm looking forward to meeting you. I mean, looking forward to meeting your wife. We'd love to have you over. I was in my shorts, you know. My hair was all whatever. I didn't care. I got to open my mouth. This is my first opportunity. Amen? And I started praying for him. I'm not waiting for him to come to church. I've already started asking God to work on his heart. Amen? Remember, it's God's church. It's Jesus that came into this world to die for all of us. So many times we think it's up to us. It's not up to us. We simply plant and water. The Bible says God makes it grow. Amen? Matthew chapter 10. We read about Jesus sending out the 12. After Jesus chose them to be apostles, he didn't just say, okay, guys, man, it's so great you're here now. Okay? Now, go out. As a matter of fact, tells them, you can go read it because of time. They're going to read it. Don't take any bag. Don't take any extra clothing, all that stuff. Go out there and preach the gospel. Heal the sick. And they went out and they did it. And they came back rejoicing, telling Jesus what had happened. Said, Lord, it was awesome. You see the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall down from heaven.
What are you talking about? You see, when you go out and share good news, there's something about it that you cannot, you know, experience outside of that. There's just something about sitting down with somebody and opening up the Bible and letting God's word do the talking, and you see their hearts changing. For you to realize, you know what? I thought I got problems. Man, listen to this person's story. Man, they're going through a whole lot more than I'm going through. At least I've got God. They don't have anybody. And see, so what happens is when we're not into people's lives and we're not showing them the scriptures, you're missing something. Even as a Christian. Again, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I'm saying pray about it and go after it. Amen? You know more Bible than most people in this county. You know, the census just came out the other day. And in Gwinnett, you know, they counted, they sent some stuff out. I hope you sent it back in. If not, they didn't count you, but it's okay. They're telling us right now that we have 808,000 people in Gwinnett County. And I know everybody did not send that stuff in. And it's amazing to see the breakdown of the demography. Whether you like it or not, whites are still the largest population in Gwinnett County. Almost 60%. That's a lot of people that we got to go. We need to help. Amen? 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 Everybody needs to be converting white people because they make up 60% of the population. Yes, I said it. Blacks make up about 15%. Everybody needs to be converting black people. Why? Because they make up 15% of the population of the county. We got Latinos. ¿Cómo está? Muy bien. He's tempting me up here. That's all I know. But I'm going to learn Spanish. Watch. I'm going to learn Spanish. It's one of the fastest growing demography in the county. I am going to learn that language. But not today. Then we got Asians. You know, people from the Far East. From Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, Philippines, all that area. South Korea. It's a growing population. What do we need to do? We need to convert those people too. Amen? That's what it's all about. Because people are searching. Because the county is made up of all kinds of people. I mean, remember we gave this out sometime last year? And we got all the 21 cities in Gwinnett County on this thing. 22, I'm sorry. Some of us didn't even know we had that many. We gave it to you for a reason. So you can be praying through all these names. For God to lead us to men and women in these places. So that people in Auburn can get a chance to go to heaven. And Berkeley Lake, and Braselton, and Beaufort, and Centerville, and so on. He said, well, we got one person from Beaufort. But there are thousands of people in Beaufort. So I'm glad you're here. We got work to do in Beaufort. Dekula. Yeah, we got a few sprinkles. What I mean by that, a few disciples in Dekula. There's a lot of people in Dekula that need to be reached. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Remember that we're all ministers of reconciliation. Amen. You say, well, that's Richard's job. Ah, you got that wrong. I'm the preacher. I'm the evangelist. Yeah, we're not all going to make our money from preaching, but we are all ministers. Right. Are you with me? We're all ministers. We're all preachers. You're waiting for me to give you the pulpit? You're going to wait a long time. Create your own pulpit. You got your own pulpit. At work, in your neighborhood, whatever. Don't be waiting for me to give you the pulpit. It's not going to happen. Okay? I'm being paid to do this. I mean, how do you think it's going to look? Sunday, this Sunday, Joe Cook preaches the word. Next Sunday, Audie comes to preach. The following Sunday, somebody else. The others are going to say, Richard, what are you doing? We're paying you to do this. How come you're not preaching? What do you expect me to say to them? They're going to say, why are we paying you? Are you with me? But you see, we all have a pulpit. It's not this one, but we all have one. By the way, if you've misplaced yours or you need an extra one, talk to me afterwards. I brought some extras. I'll give it to you. Look in Acts chapter 5. We're talking about the greatest calling in the world. In Acts chapter 5, I love this passage. In verse 42, talking about the first century church, it says, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. He says, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped. Many of us have stopped. Okay, let's just be honest. Because you know me, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. You will never change what you will not own up to. Many of you have stopped. And it's time for you to change that. The Bible calls this repentance. Metanoia. To have a different mind change. Jesus didn't die for you so that you just come to church on Sunday. I was doing that since I've been 5 years old. Jesus didn't die so I can just go to church some Sunday, sing some songs, and then go home. That ain't it. It's every day living like a disciple of Jesus. Talking to other people about Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what this church has always been about. Amen? And that's never going to change. He said, oh, Rich, I'm feeling guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to get you to change. Amen? Now, it's amazing. Not everybody will reach out to you is going to make it. Not everybody's going to say, yuppie! I want to make Jesus Lord. Some people are going to say, uh-uh. Some people, when you start talking about sin, they are going to take off. Because they really don't want to change. But that's okay. They have had the opportunity. They're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account. My job is done. I will go find me somebody else who wants to. I'm supposed to get down and depressed because this guy doesn't want to go to heaven? That's his problem. I'm going to find me somebody else who wants to. Are you listening to me? The parable of the sower is in the Bible for a reason. Not everybody's going to jump up and down and be good soil. Some people will even become Christians and then fall by the wayside. Amen? You know, I'm so excited. Last year, all the Atlanta churches, all our sister congregations, all around the whole of Atlanta, we had 240 people baptized in the Christ last year. All of us put together. That's incredible. That's awesome. Put your hands together. That's exciting, but I mean, we got a population of over 6 million people. Our prayer this year, all the leaders, all the evangelists, is to see daily baptisms in all of our churches. In other words, all of our churches put together, our prayer is that this year we'll see at least 365 people baptized into Christ. Last year we did 240. My prayer for us as a church, right here, are you ready? Are you buckled up? Is to see 50 people baptized in Christ next year. This year, I'm sorry. 2011, we're already here. That's my prayer. And so I'm asking, would you join me in that prayer? Would you join me in that effort? That's my prayer. All kinds of people. Black, white, Hispanic, name it, Asian, everybody. Because we got them all in this county. Amen? You gotta reach out to everybody. Don't let their appearance intimidate you. Hilary, do you mind standing up? Here's my brother Larry. He's on campus.
Hilarious got dreads, in case you didn't notice. And he's not from Jamaica. He's from here. He's an American. But you see, sometimes we can see someone like Hilario and be intimidated by his appearance. So, ooh, that guy's got dreads. You don't mess with those guys. Fred met him, talked to him, started talking about God, and now he's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just open your mouth. You know what we do at church? I mean, we talked about this before. SSI. Smile. Say hello. And introduce yourself. That's all it is. SSI. Smile. Say hello. And introduce yourself. Amen? Just open your mouth. Day after day, and from house to house, they never stop. It's amazing to me. Honestly, all the different things God has given us in this age to be able to do this. I can't imagine what they would have done back in the first century if they had email. I mean, it's amazing. Some of this stuff, we read it. It took months after Paul wrote it to get to some of these places. And then it will take months to get back the news. Today, you can communicate with somebody on the other side of the county, on the other side of the world, in an instant. It's amazing. And yet, we're not using it. Okay? Some of us were on Facebook every day. How do I know? I read your stuff. And I am not on Facebook, by the way. I get on there just to find out what you guys are saying. And it's amazing to me how few of you talk about God and Jesus. Here's an incredible tool you can use to impact people's lives. Come on! People are dying and going to hell. I'm not saying getting on Facebook is sin. But I'm saying use it for Jesus, for goodness sake. You're going to find out who your true friends are very quickly. When you start talking about God and scriptures, you're going to find out who is really your friend. Social networking. What good is it if you're not going to use it for Jesus? Come on, church, let's get honest here. We got cell phones. Man, it's amazing. Some of this stuff will do these days. It's amazing to me. Man, you sit there. You can play games on that stuff. You can do things remotely. I mean, it's amazing. And yet you're sitting there on the phone, talking away, and you're paying for that stuff, and you're talking sweet nothing. And nobody's life is getting changed in the process. Come on. People are lost. And so I'm saying, church, we need to wake up. You can't get up from work. Oh, I'm tired. I'm just going to sit over here and watch House. House is not going to get anybody to heaven. I'm sorry. Again, I'm not saying watching House is sin. But if all you're doing every night is watching television, sister, brother, you are in sin. Invite somebody over. Better yet, go over to some neighbor. Knock on their door. Hey, I'm your neighbor from down the road. What are they going to do? They're going to say, come on in. Say, I just came to get to know you. What's your name? What's your name? That's what I do first. I talk to the kids first. It's amazing. When people know you love their kids, they will talk to you. So forget about the adults. How are you doing? Yes, good. Give me a second. What's your name? How old are you? But don't just sit in the house. I'm looking at some of you guys. All you do is come to church on Sunday. That needs to change.
Can I get an amen? Amen. My wife and I are going to be talking to some of you face to face. It's time to change. Isn't that why you and I, whatever it is we grew up believing, isn't that why we left? When we saw the truth, we saw men and women really doing something with their lives, willing to go anywhere, do anything for the sake of the gospel. I don't know about you, I've never seen that before. Until I saw it in Gainesville, Florida, in the Crossroads Church of Christ. I'd never seen it before. Men and women who were not just claiming to be Christians, they were living out their life. And I said, wow, I can follow people like this as they follow Christ. Amen? God didn't create you so that you can work for IBM or AT&T or whatever it is you're working for. You think that's why you're on this earth? You got it wrong. God created you so that you can get to know him and then turn around and start helping other people. That's why we're here. And guess what? The day when your job is done, God will call your name. And God will take you. The reason why we're still here, the reason why we woke up this morning, guess what? God still has work for us to do. Amen? God called you for a reason. Look in Romans chapter 10. I'm almost done. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 14. Okay, let's back up to verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He says, how are people going to hear unless some people are sent to them? How are they going to hear and believe unless some people are doing the preaching? And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Guess what? You got beautiful feet. Okay? I know some of us think we don't. And we don't like to show our feet and we put socks on. You got beautiful feet if you're talking about Jesus and sharing your faith. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I am eternally indebted to Russ McKenzie and to Gene Veal. Those men changed my life. I thought I was in college to get a law degree and to get out and become a multimillionaire and make a lot of money practicing law. That's what I thought. But God had other plans. Ross was on his way to a football game when he invited me to church. And I don't think he walked away going, wow, that guy, he's going to be this or this and this and this. No. He just extended an invitation. He had no idea what God was going to do with my life. And here I am, almost 25 years later, a preacher. Friday night, I had the opportunity to go to Marietta Christian Church. They were having a revival all weekend, so they asked me to come preach Friday night. And Ross sent me a text. He's in North River. He goes, bro, I hear you're preaching tonight. I'll be there just to encourage you. And he was right there, man, on the front row. Encouraging. Why? Because he remembered. And we've kept the relationship, obviously, all these years. You know, you never know who God's going to lead you to. It's amazing, as
We were singing as I was getting ready to preach. I looked kind of to my left, and there were these four young men. They were about 10 years old. To the far left, and they were singing. And I kind of looked over, and I thought, man, those boys are going to be preaching someday. And it's amazing. I finished preaching, and one of them came up to me. He said, hi, how you doing, sir? My name is CJ. And, you know, he's having this conversation with me. Only to find out, and he's been telling people in the church, he wants to become a disciple. He wants to get baptized. He's 10 years old. They're actually holding him back. I have no idea what God's going to do with that young man. But I pray that his life will impact so many people. I pray that your life will impact so many people. That's what it's all about. I promise you, you can mark this down. This church, this is the smallest it's ever going to be. God is going to continue to add to our number. 10 years from now, you're going to look back and say, do you remember that time we need to have a leaders meeting. And just the leaders in the church will be this room. And we say, wait a second. You guys used to be at Meadow Creek? In that little theater? Say, yeah. You are the foundation of what we're trying to build. Amen? That's why I don't think about just the year. I think way ahead. It helps me. It gives me perspective. Because if I know where I want to be 10 years from now, then I can walk my way backwards. That is the way I live my life. That is the way I make decisions. Now, does it mean everything I desire to do happens that way? No. But I let God decide that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Believe it or not, the day is coming. When the elders and other preachers are going to look at me and say, Richard, sit down and be quiet. Let somebody else do the preaching. Let this young man do the preaching. Amen. That's part of my job too, by the way, is to raise up other young people. These guys on campus, I got plans for them. They're going to turn this county upside down in this lifetime. You watch. Some of them are going to be preachers. They just don't know it yet. I can see their hearts already. Some of your kids are going to be preachers. They see it right here. They can hear me right now. They are going to be preachers. You say, oh no, I don't want my son to be a preacher. Oh yeah, you will. They will. Oh, that's my retirement. Go work on your own retirement. That child is not your retirement. You need to work on your own retirement. God gave you that son, that daughter for a reason. Amen? But we got to see what God sees. A church of disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make other disciples. You know, the thing that's very convicting about this whole thing, you know, we know the passage in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Same thing in Mark 16. There is no other plan. I've actually heard people very recently say, you know what, we're just looking for another way to do evangelism. And I'm like, what? What Bible are you reading? It's always amazing to me, people that say such things, there's nothing going on in their lives. They're looking for some other way to reach out to people. It's like, hello, it's all here. It's always been here. It's one man making another disciple. Now the two of them go out and make two more. Those two go out and make two more. And so on. That's how it happens. We cannot mass produce this thing. Because each heart has to respond to Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the greatest calling in the world. Yeah, I got no money in my pocket. But that's okay. Yeah, I'm not a multi-millionaire,
But that's all right. Spiritually speaking, I am a millionaire. I got it all. And they put peace on top of it that money cannot buy. Are you with me? Because the inheritance that is waiting for us and the incredible life that God has given us on this earth, I'm telling you, 200 years from now, 1 million years from now, it's not going to matter. You're not going to remember all the problems you were facing in this life. But I hope and pray that when we get to the other side, there will be thousands of people that come towards us and say, you know what, I want to thank you for reaching out to me, for changing my life. Because you changed this person's life, and then that person changed that person's life, and then that person changed my life. And I'm here today because of you. That's what it's all about. It's the greatest calling in the world. This is what I'm going to die doing. Now, there are a lot of causes in this world you can live for and die for. There's nothing else worth living and dying for than the call of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Church, let's go about it.